giving his heart to the broken, and sharing his home with the orphan. He is the joy, he is my joy, he is the hope of the nation.
Welcome to lesson 2 of your Daring Daughters e-course. I am Ann Dunnigan, and our theme in this lesson is doing missions. We're going to be looking at God's great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're going to be looking about how God has blessed us to be a blessing, not only with resources and finances and things that we can share with others who are perhaps poor or in need, but to realize that we've been given the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And this gift is not meant for us just to keep to ourselves. When we realize that love of God and being able to be in relationship with God, that love should compel us to go to others who have not yet heard about Him. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia, approximately 1.6 billion people have never heard of Jesus. We can't just keep the gospel to ourselves. Ladies, we need to remember that, like Oswald J. Smith said, why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once? And it's not enough just to be sorry for people who are needing Jesus Christ, or sorry for people who are starving, or sorry for the orphans. David Livingston said, sympathy is no substitute for action. We're going to be looking at doing missions. And we're not just looking at this in a romantic sort of way. You know, let's just imagine how fun it would be to, you know, travel in Morocco and buy a cool scarf and be able to, you know, be able to get your picture with elephants on a safari. No, we're talking about doing missions, whether locally or globally. We're talking about getting God's heart for people who don't know Jesus and allowing just that love to stir up in our hearts. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause, God's kingdom, to see people come into relationship with God. We need to be a part of that, ladies. We need to be a part of God's great commission. We're going to be interviewing with my daughter-in-law, Anna Lee Dunnigan. She's married to my son, Josh, and they started Gospel Projects International and also an orphanage, Asha Children's Home, in Southeast India. Let's go to the interview.
Welcome, Anna. We are just so glad that you can be here today on our Daring Daughters broadcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be here and just share my heart on missions and help inspiring other people to get out there and reach people for the Lord. So thank you for having me.
Oh, amen. Anna, I just love being your new mom. I just feel so honored that you have come to be a part of our family. And something that I would just love for you to share with the moms and daughters who are listening is how God began to stir in you a heart for global missions, and how does that affect, you know, how does that just affect a regular Christian girl? I mean, are we supposed to have a heart for missions? So if you could just start off by telling us how you got a passion for world missions and then begin to share that with the girls of why they should have that.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a Christian home in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and was raised in the church and very involved in the church. And even though my parents didn't really go on short-term missions, they were really encouraging my brother and I to get involved in the church and local outreach. And, I mean, like the Bible says, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, all the world, that includes, you know, people right next door to us, you know, and people at the grocery store. And so I guess instilling that vision of the whole world, you know, and missions is a lifestyle, that was the foundation that my parents really instilled in my brother and I as a young girl and in him as a young boy. So I guess it all started when I was in sixth grade. That was my first missions trip. The Christian school that I went to, they had opportunities at spring break that you could go on a missions trip, starting at sixth grade all the way up to 12th grade. And so my first trip was to Mexico and just loved it. It was a really life-changing point for me, seeing people in poverty in another nation and just wanting to help them. So that's kind of how it started. After I graduated from high school, I went to a Bible school, and India had always been on my heart. Missions was always definitely a lifestyle, like I said earlier, but it was always on my heart to do missions, some kind of missions. I didn't know exactly what that was. I did feel like the Lord was telling me to go to Bible school, and I followed God's voice. I didn't really know what his plan was for my life, but I just followed that and the track I was doing was more practical ministries and also worship. And it was really neat because one of my friends, she was going to India, and India had always been just a special place in my heart. And I was praying for India, and I was trying to ask God, you know, why are you putting this urge in my heart, you know? And anyway, so one of my friends was going to India, and I just felt the Lord prompt me to give a sacrificial gift to her. I was in college at the time, or Bible college, and I didn't have a lot of money, and so it was a huge thing for me to give that gift, because I didn't have much, and so I gave what I could, and I told her, this is a symbolic gift, because you are going for me. One day I will be able to go, but right now I'm equipping you to go for me. And so she went, and it was an awesome trip, and I don't know, it just did something in my heart. It was almost like God was preparing me to go to India by that gift. I don't really understand that, but so anyways, years down the road, I met my husband, and he's awesome. Yes, your son, and he has such a heart for missions. And so I think that's another thing, just like a short kind of a little sidetrack, but I encourage every single young girl to make sure that that they're future husband, you know, has the same calling, and that the giftings and talents inside of you that he helps equip you with those, you know, and he helps complement those gifts, not distract you from your calling. So that was one thing that was really, I think, a blessing, where Josh really, he helped kind of encourage me in those kind of areas and encourage me to go after missions. And things like that. So after we got married, we heard about a need of, from you actually, of that there were some orphans over in India that just really needed a home and that there were some ministry opportunities there. So we teamed up with Harvest Ministry and we started an orphanage. That was 2 months after Josh and I had been married. And like I said earlier, that's really our heart is missions. Everyone is called to missions. Missions is a lifestyle. And sometimes people say, you know, I want to reach the lost, but I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher, you know, so how am I supposed to reach them if I'm not somebody in ministry? And I believe that's a lie of the enemy, because we are all called. In Luke 4:18, I love this verse. And in my Bible, I have it written down. I have it highlighted, and it says, my calling. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That's our calling. God has called us. He's equipped us. He's anointed us to preach the gospel and to set free the captives. So it's not something that we have to be a certain somebody just to share the gospel. I like the example of it's like if everyone in the world had a life-threatening disease and the cure was salvation, and the cure had been paid for, but there's just messengers who had to go out and take it to the people because the people didn't know about the cure. Well, I mean, that's just like salvation. You know, we have to go out and we have to tell people about the salvation so that they can receive it. And so that's why missions is so important, because if we don't get out there and we don't tell people about God and we don't tell them about the hope that they can have through Jesus Christ, then they'll never know and they might die and go to hell. And so getting that realization in your heart and realizing that people are going to hell if you don't reach them, that's so important. And that's, I think, the foundation for missions and obviously your walk with the Lord.
Of just realizing that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we realize that Jesus is the only way of salvation, that there is no other way, that Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And in Acts, it talks about there is no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved, that it is only through the name of Jesus, it's only through the blood of Jesus that we can be saved. And it is so foundational. And sometimes people think that missions or global missions or having this missions heart, it's just kind of this little extra thing that's just for super spiritual people, or it's just for those missionaries out there, some random old person that maybe might share at church sometime. People get this idea that missions is just for a select few, but God has called every one of us to be a light for Jesus Christ in the world. He has called our families that we're to shine for Jesus. He has called every boy, every girl, every mom, every dad. We are all to expand the kingdom of God in whatever sphere of influence that God has placed us, and then beyond. I keep seeing this over the years as I have talked with families and with people, I just see that there seems to just be this block that people think, oh, missions, global missions, mission-minded, that's not my thing. And so then they shut even the door to even hear, when really it's just being a Christian.
Yeah.
It's just part of we are a Christian. We live for Jesus in this world. When we meet somebody who doesn't know Jesus, we tell them about Jesus. And even just realizing that God wants to give us a deeper heart for people who don't know him, and especially for people who have never heard about him.
Yeah.
I know that, Anna, you have been able to go to many places where you have actually met people who have never heard of Jesus before. Could you tell a little bit about some of your experiences of going into these remote areas in Southeast India and what it was like going into a place where people have not heard about Jesus before? What was that like?
It was crazy because, I mean, in the world that we live in today, it's so modern and, we have everything right at our fingertips, and you can buy things online, and they can get to your house, the next day. And I mean, it's just amazing, the technology that we have. And so it's crazy to think that there's these really, really remote places who have never seen a white person before, have never seen a car before, and have never heard the gospel before. To me, that's just crazy with the internet and TV and satellite, you'd think that at least they've just heard the name, but there's places that, they've never heard before. It's so remote. One place we went to, to get there, we had to travel by airplane, car, boat, auto rickshaw, motorcycle, and then we had to walk. So it was quite a journey just to get there. And when we got there, it was just like this little hut in the middle of nowhere. And we went in there, and we just shared the precious message of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for us. And, you know, we saw people come to the Lord, and it was, you could see in their eyes the light of hope just coming into their life, because for once in their life, the first time in their life, they actually found hope. They actually found love. And to me, that was so awesome. It was so rewarding, because that is exactly what it's all about. It's all about reaching the lost and knowing that at that exact moment when they gave their life to the Lord, there was a party going on in heaven, and the angels were rejoicing because more people came to know the Lord and they gave their life over to Jesus. And so to me, like, that was just a confirmation of God's faithfulness, confirmation of the calling that I feel like is on my life. And every one of us were called to do missions. And some of us, you know, we can't go at the time, but there's things that we can do in preparation for that, or there's things that we can do in the meantime. Last night, actually, I met a couple, and the wife, she really felt called to missions. But right now, I mean, they just got married. They've been married for about 2 months. And so she is getting involved with all sorts of different outreaches in her local church and different organizations in the town. She just moved to in a new town in Washington. So she's new to the area, but she's just getting online and looking up what kind of, you know, outreaches are going on in the city, and she's getting involved. She's doing what she can where she's at. And I think that's a huge thing, because we've heard, Josh and I have heard so many people come up to us and say, I have a heart for missions. How do I, you know, what do I do with that? But right now I'm a stay-at-home mom, you know, what do I do with that calling? And I think this girl that I met last night, I think she hit it right on the nose. You know, it's doing what you can with where you're at. And whatever mm-hmm. season you're in, you know, getting connected, whether it's, you know, having a Bible study at your home, you can look at that as a missions field. Even your kids, you can look at that as a missions field, training them up for missions, training them up to have a heart for the lost. And I think, yeah, I just think that's an awesome key that you can have. And one day, you know, maybe God will call you and he'll open up the doors for you to go overseas. And that's awesome. I say, if you have a peace about it and God's telling you to go, go for it. Don't let money stop you. Don't let other things, you know, people's criticism stop you. You know, if God tells you to do something, you obey God, not other people. So that's my encouragement.
Oh, that's absolutely awesome. Anna, when you are thinking of, you know, you were talking about like a thing, you know, like a stay-at-home mom or different things, what are some things that a teenage girl, okay, just starting a new school year, what are some things that a teenage girl and her mom, you know, what are some things they can do right now, right in their own area? I mean, what are some things that you know, to stir up a heart for missions, or to begin to be a light for Jesus and be a part of God's great commission? What are some things that a girl could do now?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, look around you. You know, who in your sphere of influence is the closest to you, who you know needs Jesus? Like neighbors, for example. I'm sure maybe all of us maybe have one neighbor that's maybe a little grumpier than the others, you know, and who we don't know for sure if they're a Christian, you know, but we're a little, maybe a little on the scared side to get out of our comfort zone and go up and knock on the door and ask them about Jesus. You know, one way I think would be an awesome opportunity for a mother and daughter just to get to know each other more and spend some time together, but then also reach out and reach out to your neighbors and ask them if they know the Lord. Take them some cinnamon rolls or bake them some cookies. You know, something that you can do together. And then also, as a team, as the two of you or the rest of your children, you know, go out and go to the neighbors than just say, hey, I want to bless you. You know, we made this for you. We just want to let you know we love you so much. We care about you. You know, and then maybe follow it up maybe a month later and do the same thing. And then just build a relationship with them. It doesn't have to be super long, you know, but just build a relationship and then eventually, you know, ask them, you know, do you know the Lord? Have you ever heard about the Lord? You know, have you ever heard about Jesus and the price that he paid for you? And then invite them to church. Kayla, actually your daughter, is a great example of that. There were some neighbor girls right next door. They had never heard of the gospel and the price that Jesus paid. And so she's been witnessing to those girls, and she invited them to church, and she's been a witness where she is. She doesn't have a car, so she can't, you know, she doesn't drive. She's only 14. She's 14 or 15?
14.
So, I mean, she's an awesome example of being faithful where she is. You know, the Bible says being faithful in the small things. And I feel like she's a great example of that because she's reaching the people around her. She sees the need, and she's going after that. She knows that if they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord and they don't accept Jesus as their personal Savior, that they won't go to heaven. And so she's reaching out, and she's witnessing to them. So that's one way. Also, just getting involved with your local church, maybe starting a Bible study. And when you go around to the grocery store, restaurants, you know, people that you meet that maybe you feel like they don't have a relationship with the Lord, maybe you can encourage them to come to your small group. And it's more of a personal thing. Hey, why don't you come over? We're going to have, you know, some refreshments, and we'd just like to get to know you more. You know, there's going to be these other people. We're going to do a little Bible study. Why don't you come? It'd be a great opportunity for you to meet some more people and just to get to know our family a little bit more. You know, it's more personal.
And it could even be something maybe even just like a small group for girls. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe it could be something where, you know, you and your daughter and maybe maybe one of her friends, you know, maybe you could do it together with another Christian family, another mom and daughter, and together you could invite a couple neighbor girls to come over and do just like a couple week Bible study for girls. And it could even be, I've seen families that have done even just like a one-time special thing of having like a little tea party or something kind of special where you invite a few friends over, and then at that little party, you could let them know we're going to be starting a weekly little girls group, you know, or a weekly teen girls group here in our home, and we're going to do it for a couple weeks, and we would love to have you come. Where
That's
it doesn't
a good idea.
Have to be getting on an airplane and going somewhere, although we do need to fervently have a heart to go and to tell other people about Jesus. And sometimes it is actually going somewhere. I remember one time, Anna, it was when we lived in Bend, Oregon, there was a time I felt such a strong, as I was praying, I kept thinking about these one neighbors. And I felt like the Lord just put on my heart, you need to go on a mission trip to your neighbors. And it was just like, I felt I was to go over to that neighbor's house, and I was not to leave that house until I had shared the gospel with them. And it was just like burning in my heart. And I remember I walked over there, and the lady was kind of busy. It wasn't like a really convenient time, but she was having like drapes being brought in, you know, like curtains. And it was not necessarily like a convenient time, but I felt like I was supposed to go and not leave until I had shared the gospel with her. And I remember something that ended up being a little topic of conversation is she was talking about how she needed to clean her windows because the drapes were coming down. And as the sun was shining in through the windows, you could see that they were really dirty. And, you know, some of the other windows that were kind of in the shade, you couldn't, they didn't look dirty. And I just use that as just an illustration that when we are face to face with God, it's like the light is shining and it exposes the things in our life where we have sinned and we have, you know, we have done things against God's plan, and that, you know, as we get close to God and His holiness, it just exposes who we are. And anyway, it turned out that I was able to share with that lady about how Jesus mm-hmm. loved her and about the gospel, but it was an effort. It wasn't necessarily convenient, and I think sometimes we're so concerned with not offending people or not, mm-hmm. you know, that sometimes we just really don't care about where other people are spiritually. Mm-hmm. Anna, I want you to, could you share a little bit about how you and Josh actually organized some local mission outreaches that you call Reach Out, and a few different ideas of how you just actually put in your schedule to be a part of world missions in a local way.
Yeah. Well, we were involved. We were going to a small church in the area we were living at, and it's a great, great church, very missions-oriented, very missions-minded, and they would do big outreaches, you know, throughout the year, but we saw a need for local outreach on a weekly basis. And so we started an outreach called Reach Out, and we saw the need in the area we were living at, and it was very, very, I don't want to say dark, but kind of more on like kind of the new age kind of side, and there was definitely a lot of non-believers. And so we just felt to go out on Saturday mornings and take donuts, take hot chocolate, do some kind of random act of kindness for people and share the love of Jesus with them and invite them to church. So we just organized, we made a Facebook page, we announced it at church, and the pastors were gracious enough to announce it at church, which that helped. And so people came, and as believers, we grouped up together, and we went out and hit the streets, went door to door, and just knocked on people's door on Saturday morning and would either ask if we could wash their windows, sweep their sidewalks, we would bring hot chocolate, and just do something nice for people. And it was so funny because when you come to the door in America, everybody's on guard, you know, and so they barely crack their door open. It's like, what do you want? And, you know, oh, well, we just have this hot chocolate we want to give you. And all of them were just so surprised, like, you want to give me free hot chocolate? Why do you want to give me free hot chocolate? What's the catch? You know, everybody wants to know what the catch is. And it's like, no, we just want to show that we love you, you know, and God loves you. And here's a little invitation to church. You know, hope you can make it this Sunday. And then sometimes, you know, we talk with them a little bit more. And one lady, actually, that Saturday morning, we were sweeping sidewalks. So we had a whole bunch of brooms and dustpans and rakes, and we were sweeping off people's sidewalks, getting all the leaves off. We came to this one lady's house, and afterwards, we were walking away, and she came back out. She ran back after us, and she was crying. And she just said, thank you so much. I can't believe somebody would actually take the time out of their busy schedule and come and sweep my sidewalk. It just meant so much to her. And It was just something so simple. It didn't take super long, you know, but it was just that act of kindness, and that just touched her heart, and it made her open. And we were able to share the love of God with her. It's been awesome. And I just encourage everybody to get involved with local outreach. And if you see a need and there's nothing that's, you know, helping that, start something yourself. It doesn't have to be super expensive. You can find ways, be resourceful, pray, and ask the Lord to help give you creative ideas to make that come to pass.